Lesson 15. On the Way to Freedom, from Uncle Tom's Cabin, by Harriet Beecher Stowe. One rainy afternoon, a traveller stopped at the door of a small country hotel in a village in Kentucky. The newcomer was a short, stout man, carefully dressed, with a round, good-natured face. "What's that?" he asked, noticing that some of the guests had formed a group around a large advertisement. "Nigger advertised," said one of the group. Mr. Wilson, for that was the gentleman's name, took out his glasses and fixed them on his nose. Then he read, "Ran away my mulatto boy, George. Said George, 6 feet in height, a very light mulatto, brown curly hair, is very intelligent, speaks handsomely, and can read and write. Has been branded on his right hand with the letter H. I will give $400 for him alive, and the same sum for reliable proof that he has been killed." The old gentleman read this advertisement from end to end in a low voice. Then he said aloud, "The boy described here is a fine fellow. He worked for me 6 years or so at my factory, and he was my best hand. He invented a good machine, a really valuable one. His master holds the patent of it." "To be sure," said another man in the group. "He holds it and makes money out of it, and at the same time he brands the boy on his right hand. If I have a chance, I'll mark him so that he'll carry it for a long time." The conversation was interrupted by the arrival of a well-dressed gentleman with a coloured servant. The newcomer was very tall, with a dark Spanish complexion, fine expressive black eyes, and curly hair, also black. He walked up to the bar and gave his name as Henry Butler, Oaklands, Shelby County. Turning with an indifferent air to the advertisement, he read it through. Mr. Wilson looked at the newcomer. It seemed to him he had met the man somewhere, and then he remembered. He stared at the stranger with such an air of surprise that the latter walked up to him. "Mr. Wilson, I think," he said in a quiet voice. "I beg your pardon, I hardly recognized you. I see you remember me. Mr. Butler of Oaklands, Shelby County."
Yes, sir," said Mr. Wilson, like one speaking in a dream. "I should like to have a few moments' conversation with you on business, in private, in my room, if you please," added the newcomer. When they entered the room upstairs, the young man locked the door, put the key in his pocket, and looked Mr. Wilson straight in the face.
"George," said Mr. Wilson.
"Yes, George," said the young man. "I'm fairly well disguised, it seems. I've dyed my hair black, so you see, I don't answer to the advertisement at all." For a few minutes, Mr. Wilson could not say a word. When he began to speak at last, his voice was trembling. "Well, George, I see you're running away, leaving your lawful master, George. I think it's my duty to tell you. I am sorry to see you in opposition to the laws of your country."
"My country," said George with bitterness. "I have no country."
"You see, George," said Mr. Wilson, "well, I think you're running an awful risk. You should be very careful. They'll kill you if they catch you."